is ablaze in West Texas as tourists flock to Big Bend and Marfa. Hospitals are running out of overflow options. We'll have those and other stories coming up for you this hour. But first, let's take a look at the numbers this Thursday. From the Odessa American, Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 9,329. Ector County negative, 33,770 out of 43,760 tested, with 661 pending, 151 deaths. Recovered, 7,542. Active, 1,636. ECISD daily cases, 17 students, 9 staff. Midland County, as of Monday, 7,654 confirmed, 145 deaths. And from the Texas Tribune, average new cases decreased in Texas by 2,158 cases compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On December 2nd, 14,758 new cases were reported. Hospitalizations increased by 524 patients compared with a week ago. As of December 2nd, 9,109 Texans are hospitalized for the coronavirus. Average new deaths decreased by 37 deaths compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On December 2nd, 207 new deaths in Texas were reported. Now let's take a look at coronavirus briefs and a few short articles. The United States reported 3,157 new coronavirus deaths on Wednesday, the highest number in a single day since the pandemic began, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. The U.S. set two disturbing records Wednesday. More than 200,000 new coronavirus infections were reported nationwide, and 100,000 patients were hospitalized with COVID-19. The situation is likely to get worse, with Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Robert Redfield warning that the next 3 months are going to be the most difficult time in the public health history of this nation. Redfield said the U.S. death toll, currently at 272,000, could reach 450,000 by February. Nearly 20,000 Americans could die of COVID-19 during the week of Christmas, according to a forecast by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Top Democrats are embracing a proposed $908 billion coronavirus relief package, a massive concession they hope will push President Trump and Senate Republicans toward a compromise. Coronavirus cases are rising in the U.S., and healthcare officials say their staff and facilities are struggling to support burgeoning numbers of patients. Now, here are some short articles. U.S. tracking just as badly as 1918 flu pandemic, Dr. Sanjay Gupta says, from CNN's Adrian Vogt. The United States healthcare system is quickly heading toward a breaking point as the country reported its highest one-day death toll since the coronavirus pandemic began, CNN chief medical correspondent Sanjay Gupta said. Gupta said he fears hospitals and health workers will be overwhelmed and Americans will not be able to get the level of care they are used to. Gupta also said that the U.S. is tracking just as badly as it was during the 1918 influenza pandemic. We're three times the population that we were back then, but we also have better hospitalizations, ICUs, therapeutics, and ambulance system. And despite that, just if you look at the numbers, we are tracking just as badly as back then, Gupta said, which speaks to the fact that no matter how good we get scientifically, in terms of these therapeutics and all of the wonderful things that medicine can do, despite all that, human behavior is still sabotaging us. Gupta said that there were more alternatives as COVID-19 emerged in the spring when patients were mainly concentrated in the Northeast, such as sending patients elsewhere or bringing in healthcare workers from less affected areas. If the entire country is on fire, what is the escape hatch? It's becoming increasingly hard to find one, Gupta said. An ensemble forecast released Thursday by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now projects there will be 303,000 to 329,000 coronavirus deaths in the U.S. by December 26th. I don't know where the peaks are at this point. I mean, this is starting to defy the models, even the aggressive ones, in terms of how bad things could get, he said. He said circuit breaker lockdowns and hotspots would help ease the spread of the virus. The holiday season is coming, and the CDC wants Americans to postpone travel and stay home. From CNN's Naomi Thomas. Dr. Henry Walk, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's COVID-19 incident manager, said that as Americans continue through the holiday season, they should avoid travel and stay home. We're happy we're coming out with this guidance now before the holiday season to provide additional consideration for the American public and healthcare providers, public health administrators to think through in terms of preventing infection, Walk said Wednesday. Our hope is before Thanksgiving and now before the upcoming holiday season that people hear a message about avoiding travel, staying at home, and protecting themselves, especially now, he continued. The reason for the recommendation to avoid travel is that cases are rising and hospitalizations and deaths are both increasing, Walk said. We need to try to bend the curve, stop this exponential increase, and so we're really asking the American public to prevent these infections and avoid travel and wash their hands, wear a mask, and maintain distance, Walk said. McConnell says compromise on stimulus within reach, but two sides still far apart. From CNN's Lauren Fox, Manu Raju, Ted Barrett, and Daniela Diaz. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said on the Senate floor this morning, compromise is within reach on stimulus talks. This has always been about policy differences, McConnell said. Compromise is within reach. We know where we agree. We can do this. Let me say it again. We can do this, and we need to do this. So let's be about actually making a law, he said. Where things stand. There are three separate attempts happening right now on COVID relief, and all of them, at least at this point, are a long shot. McConnell released his own economic relief proposal Tuesday, a bill he has been working on closely with the White House, House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, and Mnuchin. The bill includes some of the same provisions from the earlier targeted $500 billion proposal that failed about along party lines. It's not expected to win support of Democrats now. Now, here are a few articles that are just a bit longer. These first two are from the Texas Tribune. Coronavirus is ablaze in West Texas as tourists flock to Big Bend and Marfa. Hospitals are running out of overflow options. From Dan Rosenweig-Ziff and Sean McKay. For Andrew Rubablica's 39th birthday, he wanted to get out of town, but he also wanted to be safe. So before Thanksgiving, he drove more than 500 miles west from his home in McKinney to visit Marfa and Big Bend National Park. The popular tourist destinations were appealing in the midst of a still raging pandemic because they are seemingly in the middle of nowhere. They're rural, sparsely populated, outdoorsy, and now overrun with visitors and saturated with COVID-19 cases. If only we knew the locals were saying don't come, definitely we would not have gone. We would not have gone out of respect for the local population, Rubalcaba said. Presidio and Brewster counties, home to Marfa and Big Bend, along with nearby Culberson County, lead the state in cases per 1,000 residents in the last 2 weeks, according to a Texas Tribune analysis. In fact, all of West Texas, including Jeff Davis, Hudspeth, and El Paso counties, is ablaze with increasing COVID-19 cases and low on hospital beds. New cases of coronavirus in Texas in the last 2 weeks. The Texas Tribune is measuring the rate of new coronavirus cases per 1,000 residents in each county in the last 2 weeks. And then they have a chart, a map of Texas that shows where the numbers are increasing in the state. And by far, in far west Texas in the Big Bend region, those counties are leading the area. And by the way, Ector County cases per 100 per 1,000 is 3.40. In Midland, cases per 1,000 are 7.52. In Tom Green County, home of San Angelo, cases per 1,000 are 3.34. In Taylor County, where Abilene is located, cases per 1,000, 4.27. And then we get into the panhandle. Lubbock County, cases per 1,000, 21.07. And in Potter County, home of Amarillo, cases per 1,000 are 16.25. So basically, as I look at this map of Texas on the Texas Tribune website that is color-coded, it's actually the eastern portion of Texas that have the lighter shades of yellow and darker yellow. And then as you get further west, the shades start getting darker still, with orange and light red, and then burgundy, and then very, very dark red colors. Those dark red colors are mainly in Hudspeth County, Culberson, Laredo, Presidio County, home of Laredo, and Brewster County. Big Bend Regional Medical Center, located in Brewster County, has just 25 acute care beds. Culberson County's 2,200 residents have just Culberson Hospital, where there are 14 beds and two ventilators, but at least one doctor said she doesn't feel adequately prepared to use them. Patients in dire condition are often transferred from the small towns to regional hospitals in metropolitan areas, but those closest hospital systems in El Paso, Lubbock, and Midland, which have more resources, are already struggling with their own influxes of local cases, leaving doctors and county officials worried a bump in cases from Thanksgiving gatherings will fill beds beyond capacity with nowhere left to send the sickest patients. "It's unlikely we'd be able to help them at this point," said Ricardo Saniego, the county judge of El Paso, where COVID-19 patients occupy more than 35% of hospital beds. Without El Paso as an option to send patients, nearby doctors and officials are scrambling. "It's a scary feeling to have a critically ill patient with nowhere to go," said Gilda Morales, a Culberson County commissioner and doctor at Culberson Hospital. She said that in recent weeks, the county has sent struggling patients to hospitals in San Antonio, more than 400 miles away, including Culberson County Judge Carlos Urias, who has been there for nearly 4 weeks. "If a flood of residents need to be hospitalized quickly and cases in San Antonio and other metropolitan areas swell, Culberson might not have the resources to treat everyone in need," Morales said. "We're worried those beds will run out. And then what?" Morales said. "We're all holding our breath because as much as we told people not to get together for Thanksgiving, the holidays and family give a false sense of security." Hospitals across the West Texas region are bumping capacity and stretched absolutely to the limit, said John Henderson, the president of the Texas Association of Rural and Community Hospitals. "Administrators have struggled to find open beds, in some cases calling 15 or 20 facilities," he said. "Everyone is heading in the wrong direction," he said. "Every week is a little worse than the last one." In Odessa and in neighboring Midland, the area's three hospitals serve as referral centers, accepting patients from small-town facilities that are ill-equipped to treat serious illnesses. "All of our outlying facilities, they don't have ICUs or ventilators that can take care of patients long-term," said Dr. Rohith Saravan, chief medical officer of Odessa Regional Medical Center. The hospital in recent weeks added 34 beds for people with COVID-19, and as of Tuesday, only four were still empty. "If we see any more sharp rises, I don't think our hospitals will be able to keep up with capacity, Sarah Vannon said. Scenic Mountain Medical Center in Big Spring is one of those outlying community hospitals. The facility's 7 intensive care unit beds are full, as are 18 overflow beds that fill the hallways. Fueled by tourism. Before Thanksgiving, cases and hospitalizations were already on the rise in the mostly rural region, and locals worried tourism and family gatherings would only make the hotspot worse. Yet even as cases of coronavirus have ballooned, tourists from other parts of the state have continued to flock to the region's campsites and small communities, a worrying trend for local officials. In the tiny desert city and artistic hub of Marfa, tourism never slowed. People still flood the town's hotels and shops. It's a delicate situation for the town of 1,700, which has an economy that relies on tourism, but has seen an explosion of COVID-19. Our community is fragile, said City Council member Raul Lara. He buys groceries on Fridays after work and rarely leaves his house during weekends to avoid crowds. It's a double-edged sword because we live on tourism money and we die without it, Lara said. In response to rising concern that the next 2 weeks could be catastrophic because of Thanksgiving gatherings, residents of Jeff Davis County, one of the three counties touched by Big Bend, have urged one another to take precautions in a Facebook group. The members discussed the Turons, rhymes with morons, a reference to the tourists that continue to visit despite West Texas emerging as a hotspot. Janine Bishop, the admin of a Facebook group called Jeff Davis County News and Talk, also said tourism is a double-edged sword. The county's 2,300 residents are forced to pick between tourism and potentially more COVID-19, or closed businesses and unemployment. This week, Bishop, who runs the Alpine Humane Society and a thrift shop, laid off all of her staff. As cases rise, she worries about unmasked customers entering her store. It's hard. We need the tourist dollars, but we're really scared of what's going to happen because of Thanksgiving, Bishop said. She's frustrated with the government's inaction. Despite shutdowns this spring when COVID-19 was not widespread in her area, neither the state government nor Bishop's local officials have urged stricter precautions this time around. She feels powerless to stop what feels like an inevitable and sharp increase in cases, as she watches more Texans vacation in the region while her community suffers the consequences. She said last weekend, most customers at her store said they were from out of town. Bishop offered them a message. Please don't. We're going to be devastated in 2 weeks. Here's the second article from the Texas Tribune. Texas may receive initial coronavirus vaccine doses for 1.4 million people this month, Governor Greg Abbott says, by Edgar Walters. Texans could receive coronavirus vaccine doses to give an initial dose to up to 1.4 million Texans in December, assuming U.S. health officials approve coronavirus vaccine candidates from drug makers Pfizer and Moderna, Governor Greg Abbott announced Wednesday. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has promised to send Texas as many as 1.4 million doses of forthcoming vaccines in the month of December, Abbott said. The vaccines require 2 doses per person, and state officials have said healthcare workers will be first in line. Abbott said the vaccine candidates would likely arrive in Texas the week of December 14th. A second shipment is expected to arrive in January. The state of Texas is already prepared for the arrival of a COVID-19 vaccine and will swiftly distribute these vaccines to Texans who voluntarily choose to be immunized, Abbott said in a news release. As we await the first shipment of these vaccines, we will work with communities to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. And now our final article, a longer article, is from the Washington Post. The Beginning of the End of the Coronavirus Pandemic by Adam Taylor. The end of the coronavirus pandemic is finally within sight. On Wednesday, Britain became the first country to grant emergency approval for a coronavirus vaccine. Mass immunization will begin there almost immediately, government officials said, with the initial 800,000 doses of the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine to be distributed next week. The announcement came roughly a year after the first cases of COVID-19 were documented in Hubei, China. Since then, the virus has taken a devastating global toll. At least 64 million people have fallen sick, and more than 1.4 million have died. Economies, large and small, were devastated by lockdowns and border closures. That a vaccine could be developed, tested, and approved in such a time frame is an undeniable feat. During an interview Wednesday morning, Uğur Şahin, chief executive of BioNTech, beamed with pride. "We believe that it is really the start of the end of the pandemic if we can ensure now a bold rollout of our vaccine," he told CNN. "More countries need to approve the vaccine," he said, "but it's a good start." Şahin was right. This is only the beginning of the end, and exactly how close the end of the pandemic might depends on your vantage point. Britain, which has pursued a muddled pandemic response in many other aspects, has been proactive on vaccines. The British government has secured deals with various manufacturers, amounting to more than 5 doses per person. It has pre-ordered 40 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine, and it was faster than both the United States and Germany, homes to the companies that created it, in approving it. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the European Union's European Medicines Agency now face calls to speed up their timeline. Other countries may also be feeling pressure. On Wednesday, Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered his country to begin vaccinations next week too, even though Russia's domestically produced vaccine has faced less rigorous testing. As the vaccine race heats up, poor countries could be left behind. They cannot rival the scientific or economic might of richer nations when it comes to vaccine development or procurement. Estimates from the Duke Global Health Innovation Center in Durham, North Carolina, suggest that some people in low-income countries may have to wait until 2024 to get vaccinated. The European Union and 5 nations have already pre-ordered roughly half of the expected supply of vaccines for 2021, Nature reported this week. Though some middle-income nations have gotten deals, India, which manufactures many vaccines, has secured 2 billion doses. The most successful have been wealthy nations, like Canada, which has roughly 8 vaccine doses per person. The World Health Organization and other global groups have tried to address this problem by forming the COVID-19 Vaccines Global Access Facility, also known as COVAX. More than 150 countries have joined the program, which aims to develop and equitably distribute 2 billion doses of a vaccine by the end of next year. The United States and Russia are both non-participating outliers. The problems are not just related to supply, but also logistics. The Pfizer vaccine must be kept at an unusually cold temperature, minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit. That is outside the capabilities of many countries at this moment, especially as the scale needed for mass vaccination programs. The United States alone will need at least 50,000 deep freezers for vaccination efforts, according to one manufacturer. For some nations, that poses a near insurmountable barrier. "The Pfizer vaccine is probably out of the question for us," Palau's president-elect, Surongal Whips Jr., said in an interview Wednesday. The tiny Pacific Island nation, ironically, is one of the only countries to have kept the virus out. One concern is that even if vaccination programs effectively end the pandemic in some wealthier nations, the virus itself could linger widespread in poor countries, not only posing a risk to millions living in those nations, but also allowing the possibility of continued spread elsewhere. Health officials have been grappling with the problem of global distribution for months. Catherine O'Brien, director of the WHO's immunization department, said in November that the discovery of a highly effective vaccine was like building a base camp on Mount Everest. The climb to the peak is really about delivering the vaccines, she said, reacting to positive news about another vaccine made by U.S. firm Moderna. Some foreign officials on Wednesday accused Britain of rushing that ascent. A health spokesman for the center-right parties of the European Parliament, Peter Lais, called the move problematic and urged other European nations to stay cautious. A few weeks of thorough examination by the European Medicines Agency is better than a hasty emergency marketing authorization of a vaccine, he said in a statement. There may be unexpected obstacles ahead. Some experts had concerns that a speedy rollout could undermine trust in immunizations, especially of the type created by Pfizer and Moderna, which use new mRNA technology that could cause short-term side effects. Writing in Foreign Affairs, Joss Michaud and Jen Cates warned of vaccine disillusionment and should vaccine doses not bring a speedy return to normality. Britain, in the throes of a winter spike, did not want to wait, but Prime Minister Boris Johnson, not known for his caution, warned the country not to get carried away with over-optimism at a 10 Downing Street news conference on Wednesday afternoon. England's Deputy Chief Medical Officer, Jonathan Van Tam, said it was a matter of months, not weeks, before vaccination programs really swing into effect. All eyes will be on Britain as it begins its rollout of the Pfizer vaccine. But this is not a national tale. BioNTech Sahin and Özlem Türeci, his wife and co-founder of the company that developed the vaccine, are the children of Turkish immigrants to Germany who partnered with an American company and sought the approval of the British government. In a period of vaccine nationalism, the international nature of that feat is worth remembering. Yes, the end of the pandemic is in sight, but it will take continued global effort to get there. And that is your coronavirus update from the Recording Library of West Texas for this Thursday, December 3rd. I'm Michael. Coming up next for our second half hour of the 1 o'clock hour, we'll bring you the sounds of the season with Christmas music to take us up to 2 o'clock, at which time we'll have national news from USA Today. And then at 3 o'clock, our local news broadcast. Here are some of the articles our volunteers are reading today. From the Midland Reporter Telegram, MISD board runoff. Fuller and Booker talk education and board leadership. Third phase of road bond projects beginning. And MOSC's Sounds of the Season, A Tuna Christmas, on stage this weekend. And from the Odessa American, Healthcare Management, newest UTPB degree. Agencies look to stop enrollment slide. And Odessa Pharmacy and owner to pay civil penalties for alleged violations. Those stories and more coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And then at 6, the Wall Street Journal. And then also a quick reminder that our Recording Library locally produced program, Texas Monthly Archives, will come back after a week's break for Thanksgiving. That's tonight at 7 o'clock, and it'll feature articles about deer hunting, because it is that time of season in Texas. So Texas Monthly Archives at 7 o'clock tonight, which of course will then repeat several times throughout the weekend. Thank you as always for joining us. We'll be back at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon for our Friday edition. Be well and have a great day.
This is a recording library of West Texas Community Update.
Call 211 for non-emergency help hotline and get connected to existing help services in Odessa. Also, OPD is asking Odessans to file reports online rather than requesting an officer. To file a report via phone, phone 335-4961. Again, that's 335-4961.
Of all the interesting places in our country, the American West may just have the most interesting stories. Recording Library of West Texas volunteer Jack reads articles from Range, American Cowboy, and other publications on the Western Magazine Hour, Wednesday mornings at 11 and again Sunday afternoons at 5 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at 5 and 10, glistening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. Sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start.
And the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start.
And the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Christmas,
Christmas,
Christmas, Christmas.
I'm dreaming. a white Christmas. With every Christmas card I write,
may those days, may your days, may your days be merry and bright. Christmases be white.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Santa Claus comes tonight. No more days to count, but the even longer wait begins. The suspense of having to wait from bedtime till morning. Yes, kids all over the world say their prayers and go to sleep, knowing that when they wake up, the little fat man with the long white beard will have stopped by their houses and left the answer to a wish from the most wonderful, magical sack there ever was.
On the housetop, reindeer paws. Out jumps good old Santa Claus. Down through the chimney with lots of toys, all for the little ones' Christmas joys.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, who wouldn't go?
Ho, ho, ho.
Who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney with good Saint Nick. First comes the stocking of little Nell. Oh dear Santa, fill it well. Give her a dolly that laughs and cries, one that can open and shut its eyes.
Ho, ho, ho.
Who wouldn't go?
Ho, ho, ho.
Who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney with good Saint Nick.
Thank you. look in the stocking of little Bill. Oh, just see what a glorious bill. Here is a hammer and lots of packs, a whistle and a ball and a whip that cracks.
Ho, ho, ho.
Who wouldn't go?
Ho, ho, ho.
Who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney with good Saint Nick. Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney with good Saint Nick. Down through the chimney with good Saint Nick.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. How I'll hate going out in the storm. My dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you'll hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. Strings of street lights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures. Hear the snow crunch, see the kids punch. This is Santa's big scene, and above all, the bustle you'll hear. Silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. Soon it will be.
Welcome to Bells will be ringing the sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone, I have no friend to wish me greeting.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 42 and partly cloudy. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 30s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-50s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 2 p.m.
Hello, this is Melanie, and I'm reading articles from today's USA Today, Thursday, December 4th, 2020. Starting with the money section under the money line column. First one, Mandalorian and Child visit Fortnite Island. The Mandalorian and the Child, also known as Baby Yoda, are the next guests at Fortnite Island. The popular online action game kicked off its fifth season Wednesday, called Zero Point, which will feature a host of new skins and gear, including the infamous bounty hunter from the Star Wars TV series on Disney+. The Mandalorian will be available as a skin, while the Child is available as gear. The Mandalorian skin is available to players who purchase this season's Battle Pass. The Zero Point